कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 36 वर्सेस 9 थ्रू 15 So what we'll do is chant together. I'm still not clear whether I want to break the verses and talk about each of them or I should do them together. Let's try to break them this time. So we'll chant these together. I'll talk about the individual verses and then we'll go to the last verse, 15th verse, and then we'll chant responsibly. Let's see how that works. So text 9 together. सोप्येवं कोपितोरिष्टः क्रूरेणावनिमुल्लिखन् उद्यत्पृच्छभ्रमन्मेघः क्रुद्धः कृष्णमुपाद्रवत् ट्रांसलेशन् दस् प्रोवोक्ड् अरिष्ट पार्ट् द ग्राउंड् विथ् वन् आफ् हिस् हूव्स् एण्ड् देन् विथ् द क्लौड्स् हवरिङ्ग् अराउंड् हिस् अप्रेस्ड् टेल् हि फ्यूरियस्लि चार्ज्ड् कृष्ण मेबी वि जस्ट् डू इट् टुगेदर् Let's do it that way. Change my mind again. Agranyastha vishanagraha stavda sridlochanochutam katakshi pyadravaturnam indra mukto shaniryatha. Translation. Pointing the tips of his horns straight ahead and glaring menacingly at Lord Krishna from the corners of his bloodshot eyes, Arishta rushed toward him at full speed like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra. Text 11. Gruhitva shringayostam va ashta dasha padani saha pratyapo vah bhagavan gajaha prati gajam yatha. The Supreme Lord Krishna seized Arishtasur by the horns and threw him back 18 steps, just as an elephant might do when fighting a rival elephant. सोपविद्धो भगवता पुनरुत्थाय सत्वराम आपतत्स्विन्न सर्वांगो निःश्वसन क्रोधमूर्छितः Translation. Thus repulsed by the Supreme Lord, the bull demon got up and breathing hard and sweating all over his body, again charged him in a mindless rage. Text 13. तमापतन्तं सनिगृह्य शृङ्गयो पदा समाक्रम्य निपात्य भूतले निष्पीडयामास यथार्द्रमम्बरं कृत्वा विषाणेन जघान सोपतर Translation. As Arishta attacked, Lord Krishna seized him by the horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. Lord then thrashed him as if he were a wet cloth. And finally he yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck him with it until he lay prostrate.
Asrugvaman mutra sakrut samutsrujan kshipams chapadan anavyasthitekshanah jagam krucham niruteratakshayam pushpaihi kiranto harimirire surah.
Vomiting blood and profusely excreting stool and urine, kicking his legs and rolling his eyes about, Arishtasura thus went painfully to the abode of death. The demigods honored Lord Krishna by scattering flowers upon him. So this is the one we'll chant responsibly.
Evam kukurminam hatva stuyamanah svijati bihi vivesha goshtham sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah evam kukurminam hatva stuyamanah svijati bihi vivesha goshtham sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah evam kukurminam hatva stuyamanah dvijati bihi vivesha goshtham sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah.
Evam kukurminam hatva
stuyamanah dvijati bihi vivesha goshtham sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah evam kukurminam hatva stuyamanah dvijati bihi vivesha goshtham sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah evam kukurminam hatva stuyamanah dvijati bihi vivesha goshtham sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah.
Mataji.
Evam kukurminam hatva stuyamanah dvijati bihi vivesha goshtham sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah evam kukurminam hatva stuyamanah dvijati bihi vivesha goshtham sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah.
Word for word, evam, thus, kukurminam, the humped bull demon, hatva, killing, stuyamanah, being praised, vijati bihi, by the brahmanas, vivesha, he entered, goshtham, the cowherd village, sabalaha, together with Lord Balaram, gopina, of the gopis, nayana, for the eyes, utsavaha, who is a festival. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Having thus killed the bull demon Arishta, he who is a festival for the gopis' eyes entered the cowherd village with Balaram. Purport. This verse exemplifies the sublime contrast of spiritual qualities within Sri Krishna. In one four-line verse, we simultaneously learn that Lord Krishna killed a powerful and wicked demon, and that his boyish beauty gave festive pleasure to his young girlfriends. Lord Krishna is as hard as a thunderbolt or as soft as a rose, depending on our attitude toward him. The demon Arishta wanted to kill Krishna and all his friends. So the Lord beat him into a wet rag and killed him. The gopis, however, loved Krishna, and thus the Lord boyishly reciprocated their conjugal feelings. Om Agyanat Mirandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So this is a graphic description of Krishna's killing of the demon, Arishtasura. Quite enjoyable to read. I was driving from home to come to give this lecture, and my five-year-old asked me, well, what is the lecture about? And I said, it's about Arishtasura. So then, you know, she said, tell me what the lecture, you know, give me the lecture now. So I gave this lecture to my daughter before coming here. And she liked it, enjoyed it so much. Krishna Katha is invigorating. It's a lot of fun to read about Krishna disposing of demons. So let's just go verse by verse. I want to make some philosophical points, if I can, in these verses. So the first verse, thus provoked, Arishta pawed the ground with one of his hooves, and then with the clouds hovering around his upraised tail, furiously charged Krishna. Before reading this, I had not appreciated how big Arishtasura was. I mean, we think about the Govardhan Hill and, you know, Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill, but this bull is the size of a mountain. It's not a bull that we normally think of. Because his tail is surrounded by the clouds. I think it comes somewhere before. Oh no, it is in this verse, with the clouds hovering around his upraised tail. So he's huge. And then you wonder, well, Krishna is a small boy, maybe 4 feet tall, or whatever. And now this mountain is charging at this boy, if you imagine the picture there. Then Arishta pawed the ground, as bulls were getting worked up, tend to do, with one of his hooves. Now that incident has a special significance for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because the hoof where Arishta digged into the earth, that's where Radhakund came into being, because there is this pastime between Radharani and Krishna, where Radharani is chastising Krishna for having killed a calf, bull, and that he had to atone for his sins. This is described later on in this chapter in one of the purports. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this. But the hoof where he dug into the ground, that's where Radharani then expands that with her gopi friends into a bigger pond, and that's Radhakund, the most exalted holy place on earth. So Arishtasura has a special significance for us, this pastime, this leela. See. So the next verse has the word stabda, which struck me. Stabda is translated here as glaring, text 10. So the translation is pointing the tips of his horns straight ahead and glaring menacingly at Lord Krishna from the corners of his bloodshot eyes. Arishta rushed toward him at full speed, like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra. Stabda, that word also comes in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna is describing the asuras, people with demoniac mentalities. Atma sambhavitaha stabda dhanamana madanvitaha yante nama yadnyeste dambhena avidhipurvakam. Stabda. So here it is translated as glaring, there it is translated as arrogant. So you can see the qualities of the asura manifesting, or at least showing clearly in Arishtasura. So, you know, he is glaring menacingly at Lord Krishna from the corners of his eyes. Katakshipya, looking sideways. So if you wake up in the morning and your to-do list has, one of the items is to attack Krishna, that's not going to result in a good outcome. That's what this pastime is explaining. Or if you wake up in the morning and your to-do list has an item, attack the devotees of Krishna, that's also not very good. Not going to lead to a good outcome. It might not be as immediate as this one, where Krishna just beats him like a wet rag, which is kind of interesting to imagine how you would treat a mountain like that when you're 4 feet tall. But so that's what he's doing. But you know, if we are critical of devotees, if we attack Krishna or we attack his devotees, it's the same thing. There's no difference really. Krishna explains, "Mai te teshu chapi aham," in the Bhagavad Gita. Those people who are surrendered to me and worship me with devotion, I am in them and they are in me. So there's no difference between Krishna and his devotees. So this is The symptom of the asura is he doesn't know what to do and what not to do. Pravruttim cha nivruttim cha janana vidur asuraha na shaucham na vichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. Pravruttim, what should be done? Nivruttim, what should not be done? Janana vidur asuraha. Asuras, the asuras by definition don't know what to do and what not to do. Okay, so they act whimsically. So nivruti means, you know, what should not be done. We should not be attacking Krishna and his devotees. Pravruti means what should be done and what should we be doing. We should be surrendering to Krishna and his devotees. Both these things the asuras do not understand, the basic principle. This is the basic principle of spiritual life. And so they will act in ways that not only hurt themselves but hurt the whole world. Shayaya jagato ahitaha. They will act in ways that will destroy the whole, try to destroy the whole world. That's what Krishna describes. So here you can see in the previous verses, Arishtasura was described as threatening the inhabitants of Vrindavan. The people are so afraid that some of the women had miscarriages, is described, because of this huge mountain of a demon trying to harm them. So harming Krishna's devotees or Krishna, not a good idea. So text 11, let's see. Lord Krishna seized Arishtasura by the horns and threw him back 18 steps, just as an elephant might do when fighting a rival elephant. I don't know about you, but I've never seen elephants fighting, so it's hard for me to picture this, but it's an appropriate analogy because of the size that Arishtasura has. He's huge. Sopavidho Bhagavata. So this is the translation for the next one. Thus repulsed by the Supreme Lord, the bull demon got up and breathing hard and sweating all over his body, again charged him in a mindless rage. That's a very interesting combination of words. Krodham Uchitaha, stupefied by anger, drunk with anger, so angry that he cannot distinguish between right and wrong. He's just been thrown back by a child, but it doesn't occur to him that this child is not ordinary. That should maybe not a good idea to try again. So he decides to charge again in a mindless rage. So this is the one of the three gates to hell. Trividham narkasedam dwaram nashanam atmanah. Kama krodha tatha lobha. Kama is lust, krodha is anger, and lobha is greed. So this asura is drunk with anger, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. So as next translation, as Arishta attacked, Lord Krishna seized him by the horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. The Lord then thrashed him as if he were a wet cloth. Finally, he yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck with him until he lay prostrate. So in all of the leelas of Shri Krishna in Vrindavan, he killed so many demons, but he does not require to use any weapons. That's the amazing thing about him. So if you think about Putana, he sucked her life out of her breast. If you think about Shakatasur, he just touched with his toe and the cart, you know, fell up in the air and crashed and he died. If you think about Trinavarta, he just clung to him so tightly and couldn't get rid of him as the demon was taking him up in the sky. And then Krishna became heavier and heavier, and then he had to fall down, crash onto a slab, and that's how he died, Trinavarta. Who else comes to mind? Agasura. Agasura choked on him. So Krishna went inside and then he just started to grow. He couldn't breathe anymore. Bakasura broke his beak like a child breaks a blade of grass. So Krishna doesn't require to use any weapons in Vrindavan. And so in this case, his weapon is the demon's own body parts. He's breaking off the horn and beating the demon with the horn itself, which is very interesting. It is explained that all of the demons that died at the hands of, or feet of, or whatever, of Krishna, they either attained liberation or they went back to his supreme abode. So this Arishtasura is not ordinary, it's supremely fortunate. Here it is explained, Lord Krishna seized him by the horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. So Krishna's feet are touching the demon. Now Krishna's feet are the goal of all the devotees, right? So you can see how Arishtasura is a special soul, even though he's in the demon's body. Because there's this verse, there are many verses describing Krishna's feet, in the glory of Krishna's feet. I'm reading the 11th canto, and this is the one that stuck in my mind.
Adhyayam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinchinutam sharanyam vrityartiham pranatapala bhavadhipotam mande mahapurushate charanarvindam.
So this is actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being described in this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and his feet are being described, the glory of his feet, charanarvind, the lotus feet of Krishna. And the description is, his lotus feet are such that they are the eternal objects of meditation. Dheyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham. They destroy all the insults, paribhavagnam, that's how it's translated, insults of material existence. Abhishtadoham, they give everything that the soul desires, which is basically pure love of Godhead, which is what we want. Abhishtadoham, then tirthaspadam, they are the shelter of all the holy places. Tirthaspadam.
These lotus
feet of Krishna are worshipped by Shiva, by Lord Brahma. In the context of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, this is referring to Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur. And then, what comes next? Tirtha Shiva Virenchinutam Sharanyam Pratyartiham. Anybody who has surrendered, who is serving the Lord's lotus feet, these feet relieve all the distress. Artiham, they destroy all the distress of the devotees. Pranatapal, anybody who just pays obeisances to Krishna, he immediately becomes their protector. Bhavabdhi Potam, and the lotus feet of Krishna are the boat, Potam, by which one can pass over this repeated cycle of birth and death. Bhavabdhi Potam, and that's why these lotus feet are so worshipable. One day, Mahapurushare Charanarvindam. So these feet landed on the heads of Kaliya. Okay, so Kaliya became glorious, and now Arishtasur is also being touched by the feet of the Lord. So the Lord then thrashed him as if he were a wet cloth. Finally he yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck with him until he lay prostrate. Then the next one, vomiting blood and profusely excreting stool and urine. It sounds very painful. He's vomiting blood and his everything is coming out of the nile holes of his body, it looks like. His eyes are rolling about. And he thus went painfully to the abode of death. So it's not explained in more detail where he exactly went. I don't know if the devotees, somebody knows here, but definitely he either went, he emerged into the Brahman effulgence, or he went back home, back to Godhead. Those are the two destinations that are possible for the demons. And so the next one is, having thus killed the bull demon Arishta, he who is a festival for the gopis' eyes, Nayanotsav, entered the cowherd village with Balaram. So this is a beautiful verse, really. It is done, and now we go back to enjoying in Vrindavan with the gopa friends and the gopis. Back to normal life. It's just like a routine thing to keep killing these demons, giving them mercy, and then going back. This verse also describes an important principle that of Krishna consciousness, and that is Krishna is reciprocal. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tans tathaiva bhajami aham mama vartaman anuvartante manushyaha partha sarvashaha. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. If you want to be a demon, you want to attack Krishna, you're going to be beaten into a wet rag, die a painful death. If you want to surrender to Krishna as a devotee, then he's soft as a rose. What does that mean, soft as a rose? Well, there are many examples of this. One example is of Krishna protecting Ambarish Maharaj when Durvasa Muni was going after him. It's an example. He protects at all costs, Prahlad Maharaj. In the Durvasa Muni pastime, there is this verse, Krishna explains, Aham bhakta paradhino, hi asvatantro ivadvija, sadhubhir grastaradayo, bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. I am not independent, I am dependent on my devotees. Sadhubhir grastaradayo, they control my heart. The sadhus control my heart. Bhaktair Bhakta Jina Priya. Not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees control my heart. So on one hand, Krishna will beat you into a pulp, into submission, or he will offer himself to you, become your servant, like in case of Arjuna. He is taken a menial role as a charioteer, basically, which is very low position, but he is serving Arjuna there. But for that, one has to surrender first. So that's kind of the problem with the asuras. It's hard to surrender. And so Krishna is reciprocal with his devotees. And he's also, he protects them under all circumstances. That's the principle. Like in this case also it is explained, the gopi, all the Vrindavan inhabitants are afraid. They're shouting Krishna, Krishna, and that's how he's angry and he's killing the bull demon. So then I wanted to shift gears for the last 5 minutes and talk about asuric mentalities inside of us, inside of the conditioned soul. So Arishtasura is glorious. He went back home, back to Godhead, or he was liberated, but what about us? So if one studies the 16th chapter carefully, and one is really honest with oneself, at least in my case, it's hard to deny the fact that these demoniac qualities are inside of me as well. It's hard to get away from it. For example, there many verses there, but some of the verses may not be applicable, but some like, idam adhyamaya labdham, I have achieved this today, I have earned this money, this wealth. Imam prapse manaratham, I have these desires to earn more money, more. More and more and more. Idam asti me bhavishyati punardhanam. This is mine now. This wealth, this house, this property, this car, this is mine. Okay? And then there will be more cars and more houses or whatever, more bank accounts, more stock. In the future, manoratham. And then, you know, there might be competition, maybe in the job, workplace, maybe there is competition in the business. Asomaya hataha shatrur harishye cha paranapi ishwara aham aham bhogi. I have defeated this enemy, I'll defeat this enemy tomorrow, I'll beat the competition. Right? Ishwaraham, I'll control the market or control my job, I'll become the boss. Aham bhogi, I'm the enjoyer. Balavan, sukhi. Sukhi is the important thing. I want to be happy and this is necessary for my happiness. Ardhyo abhijanaman aspe, I'm so wealthy, you know, I have aristocratic lineage. Konyasti sadrushumaya, who is on my level? Yakshe dasyami modishya. I will do all the sacrifices, I will give away charity, you know, I'll enjoy modishya. Iti adnyana vimohitaha, this is all ignorance, foolishness. It is especially bad when devotees do this. It's especially bad because we know better, or we are supposed to know better. So the mind is the source of all these asuric mentalities, the impressions we've gathered over so many lifetimes. It's hard to battle with them. But the important thing is that we need to be aware that these things are inside of us. And we need to be cognizant. And what do we do once we are aware? Then we do nivruttim. We try to refrain, not do certain things. And pravruttim, we try to do other things. So nivruttim means not criticizing the devotees. In the Padma Purana, the offenses are given. Shata minda namnaha paramam aparadham vitunate. Criticizing those pure souls who are propagating the names, holy names of Krishna all over the globe, we don't want to criticize them. Because our material vision is limited, we don't really know. So, Guru Ravadnya, not obeying the orders of the spiritual master, in this case, Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual master for everybody here. And not obeying Prabhupada's instructions, Guru Ravadnya, Shruti Shastra Nindanam, criticizing the Shastra. This is Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it's translated by Prabhupada or by his disciple, empowered disciples, it's Shastra, we can't criticize. The verses, we can't criticize. The purport, Shruti Shastra Nindanam. Many offenses, but then the last one, Aham Mamadi Paramo, Namni Sopi Aparadu Krut, Shrutvapi Nam Mahatmyam, Yo Priti Rahito Adhamaha. after hearing so many instructions, as we know, about the glories of the holy name, if we still are caught up in the concept of I and mine. That means in the community of devotees, devotees belong to different cultures, they belong to different, if you will, social strata. Somebody has more wealth, somebody is more educated, so others are not. But that's no reason to look down upon people who don't have an education or who don't have wealth or who are not well situated. Because in the devotional community, sarvopadhi vinir muktam, we need to be free from bodily designations. That's obligatory on us. Even if we are not, we have to remind ourselves not continuously, no, this is just the body, it's not mine, nothing belongs to me. Nothing in the bank belongs to me, nothing in my degrees belongs to me. Let me not be offensive to devotees who have dedicated their lives to Krishna's service. Because that's really the... Everything is upside down in a devotional community. It's not the material world, it's the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, what is valued is surrender to Krishna, not one's material qualities. What's valued is surrender to Krishna. So these asuric mentalities, you know, are within us. We need to be cognizant of avoiding the offenses, nivruttim, and then pravruttim. What is a pravrutti? There's a nice verse in the fifth chapter. Kaina manasa buddhya kevalair indriyairapi yoginaha karma kurvanti sangam tyaktva atma vishuddhaye. We need to act in this world, obviously. We need to do our job and everything else. But for what reason? Atma shuddhaye, for purification. Every activity a devotee does should be somehow connected to Krishna as a means to purify oneself. Sangam tyaktva, by giving up attachment to the results, one should try to focus on Krishna's lotus feet. So a personal example, you know, from my own experience, you know, the Prabhupada gives this example of an elephant who rolls in the mud, goes out, cleans himself, and then rolls in the mud again. That's happening with me because I go to work, and when I go to work, I am taking the association of people who have no interest in self-realization. They're only interested in propagating their material status, improving their material status, and then in the association of such people, I mean, that rubs off. So if I don't come to Bhagavatam class and sit in the audience, then to the extent I don't do that, my misery is extended, in the sense that I can feel more and more depressed, not very happy. Offensive thoughts start coming in the mind about the devotees, because the temple and Krishna and his devotees start to feel distant. You know, you start to get more and more detached. Maya is pulling the other way. There's a distance, and the distance increases. But every time I come into the temple in the morning and make point to attend, whenever I can, I sit in the audience, I can feel the difference immediately. It's like instantaneous. I come into the temple and I breathe a sigh of relief. Ah, I'm here. There's Krishna on the altar. There are his devotees, and they're talking about self-realization. It's palpable. It's not some theoretical thing. So I started to experience this more and more and more. We are blessed to have a community here with so many senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada who have lived a lifetime of dedication, living the philosophy. They have so many nuggets of wisdom to share. And I feel like it would be a real pity to not take advantage of their association. So again, in the 11th canto, Uddhava is requesting Sri Krishna to take him with him when he leaves the world. And so he prays to him. And in one of his prayers, he says, let's see if I can remember this. Vayam tuiha mahayogin brahmantaha karma vartmasu tvadvartaya tarishyamas tavakair dustaram tamaha. And so Uddhava is saying, that we are, he's taking the position of a humble materialist. We are all wandering, ramantaha, karma vartmasu, on the path of fruitive activities. Okay? Mahayogi, Hare Krishna, a mystic yogi. And then he says, Tvadvartaya Tarishyamas. What is the solution for us to listen to Krishna Katha? Tvadvartaya Tarishyamas. But how? Tavakair makes it a point to say, in the association of devotees, hearing your Krishna Katha, Tavakair Dustaram Tamaha, then we can cross over this insurmountable Dustaram Tamaha darkness. So everybody is caught in this material world, misery and suffering. The solution is easy, Shravanam Kirtanam. And this is being explained again and again, over and over again, in so many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it has to be done in the association of Lord Krishna's devotees. And so it would be really useful to everybody, I think, who is not here, to be here, sacrifice that time, or at least here on the internet. And take the association of Srila Prabhupada's disciples for the dwindling number of years that are left in their lives. So that's what I have to say. Any questions, comments? Trivikram Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Very nice. Few points. The first one I was thinking, as in your case, like as the sincerity becomes stronger and stronger, Krishna makes a way that you get out of the environment or that environment. See? In time that will happen. You were speaking about the demonic qualities. We have the grihasthas, you know, they have to acquire wealth for their family and so forth. But it seems difficult to know when to stop and what point to, you know, start to get more close to the temple and start to render more services. See, if you can throw some light on that. And one other point, so you'll have to remember. Yudhisthira Maharaj was lamenting that we are Krishna's devotees, but yet we place in so much suffering. So much suffering. I'm afraid that people will think that what kind of Lord you're serving, that you're placing your devotees in so much suffering. See? That he actually, that's why, that was one reason he wanted to do the Rajasui, to glorify Krishna. Mm-hmm. See? But anyhow, I'd like you to comment on the point about the grihastha.
Where to stop? Well, there is the sanitized version of the truth, and then there is the truth. So I'll give you the truth first, and then the sanitized version. So the truth is explained in the Ishopanishad, the first verse. Let's see if I can remember this. Tena tyaktena bhunjita ma grudha kasya svidhanam ishavasya midam sarvam yatkinchak yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita ma grudha kasya svidhanam. Everything belongs to Krishna, Isha. Okay, and tena tyaktena bhunjita, there is a quota for us. Let me not desire for more than what I need. Prabhupada would say this again and again. Enough to keep body and soul together. Now that's hard. So the sanitized version of the truth. If you live in the US, I was telling a friend of mine, you know, I just closed on a property in Turkey Creek, trying to move closer to the temple. And that property has 3 bathrooms in it. So we think about resale value in the US. So that, okay, if I want to move, I need to be able to sell that house. And I'm thinking, 3 bathrooms. Why do we need 3 bathrooms for one family? What's the need? In India, people live in, there's something called the chawl, 10 families on one floor with 1 bathroom. And here there are 1 family, they have 3, 4, 5. What's the need? So the sanitized version of the truth is, we are stuck where we are, in a society, in a culture that we have to survive in. Okay? And to do so, whatever material considerations come into picture, to keep your sanity, you have to do Like, for example, if you're driving to work an hour away, you better get a new car if possible. So the needs are there. The needs are different in different societies and cultures. So depending on your local situation, your needs will be different. But the truth be told, you really need to, should be only have what needs to keep, you know, what you need to keep body and soul together. Whatever situation we are in, there's no point over analyzing it and, well, I have so many material desires, am I doing the right thing? I don't, that is also a waste of time. The best thing to do is get over it, make your decisions, but stick to coming to Bhagavatam class, chant the holy names of Krishna, try to increase the sincerity, and then Krishna will take care of the impure desires. We don't have any control. We don't have any power to control any of the lusty desires in our heart. Isn't it? I mean, we have to have Krishna's mercy. That's what we're trying to invoke. That's Bhakti Yoga. So if we can increase our sincerity, a day will come when all of these things will fall away. A day will come when we become detached from the material opulence that we might have, or detached from the desires for material opulence. It's hard to know the subtle, devious ways of the, you know, mind. Who knows what the motivation is, why I'm sitting here and giving a lecture. Okay, what is the motivation? Is it pure service? Or is it that people might say, well, yeah, he knows a lot of verses, smart guy, you know, he's able to give such nice lectures. And what is the motivation? But the point is, if we agonize about it, we'll never do any service. If we agonize about it, we'll not be able to be situated in our material life to actually do anything spiritual. So I don't worry about it too much. But we have to have the conviction and the philosophical understanding that of what the goal is. The goal is that we have to get rid of our stealing mentality, kasyasvidhanam, and to engage ourselves more and more in Krishna's service. I don't know if I answered your question. It's just some random thoughts.
Well, you touched on it, yeah. It's, yeah.
I think, yeah.
The point that you know, take what you need to get body and soul together. That is, I mean, it's quite difficult, especially when you have a family. If you have about 5 to 6 kids, you know, that's not so easy. But at the same time, yeah, well, it's...
Yeah, Prabhupada said household life is embarrassing.
You know, yeah.
There's a question, a comment from Mataji there. And then we'll come back here.
Hari Bol, thank you for a very nice class.
Thank you.
And I'm just wondering, what do you have any insight into what makes familiarity breed contempt? This thing, Prabhupada is it breed, and many people are knowing, and it just is there, even in family life sometimes.
Can you give me more context? Is this about treating our relatives or our husband, children, or is it about devotees, or you know,
all three.
Well, I like to answer questions with Shastric references. So let me scan the memory in my brain to see if I know any, can say anything useful here. Familiarity breeds contempt. No, nothing comes up. Maybe I'll turn to the devotees. Somebody can help.
Guru and the disciple, that is, or aspiring disciple, he has a little close contact with the guru, and he sees, you know, the guru is eating, sleeping, doing everything like him, and in some ways he might have started to say, well, maybe he's just ordinary, you know, not that great, not that, you know, and then he started to become, you know, become too familiar and create offense like that. If similarly in household life, wife and husband, you know, their codes of conduct, and if you're not careful, you know, you become tinkle, this guy is probably too henpecked or whatever, you know, and then offense start to create and yeah, you know, even in friendship in so many arenas out of forum, you know, these things can take place.
So okay, maybe I can say something useful now since I scanned my memory. So there's this verse, Uddharet Atmanatmanam na Atmanam avasadayet, Atma evi Atmanu bandhur, Atma evi Ripuratmanaha. The mind is our main problem. Whether it's a relationship or anything else, even trying to build a relationship with Krishna, the mind is kind of the main issue. And it's very hard to control. So, you know, Chanchalam Imanaha Krishna, Pramathi, Balavadrudam, Arjuna explains, Vayurivam Sudushkaram, it's like the wind, it's hard to control. And the mind is the source for conflict in relationships as well. Because the mind, its quality is to hanker and lament. And so in a relationship, if you are hankering for some material gain, such as respect, the husband wants respect from the wife, or parents, you know, they are autocratic, they want their children to be their slaves, or for the guru, the disciple wants the guru to give instructions that will be comfortable. So all of these expectations that the mind builds up. And then, of course, we react also, we respond to the other person's mind-induced problems with our mind. So what I feel is that in a relationship, one should try to get off the platform of the body. Okay, and then that will build genuine respect, which is key for a relationship. And then familiarity will never arise because we're always looking at each other as spirit souls, right, as servants of Krishna. Hard to do, but that has to be the goal. So ultimately it comes down to the extent that we misidentify with the mind, with the body ultimately, then to that extent everything is messed up, not only our relationships. So in the same way, if you look at the guru as just the body, then you know we'll see the failings of old age in Srila Prabhupada. His accent was strange, you couldn't understand at the beginning anyway what he was saying. Or you know, his knowledge of chemistry and physics and quantum mechanics was limited. Okay, but you know, all those are material things. So we're looking for the wrong, we're looking at the faulty vision. So that's why it's important to fortify the intellect with knowledge. So simple practical solutions could be chant as a family at home, one round together as a routine. Everybody sits and chants. Or read the Upanishad with the kids, you know, the kids read some simple philosophy which talks about the body and the soul. So I think those are the things that come to mind. This Prabhuji had a question. And then we'll go back.
What about relationship with Paramatma? Should we show yes, any names? Is there a horror?
So yeah, that's great. So if we have the vision of the Paramatma inside everybody, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddheshi Arjun Tishtati, if we see the Paramatma in other people, then we can serve those people with more, with the correct vision, because we are serving the Paramatma also in trying to bring these people to Krishna consciousness. For example, we are offering service not only to the soul inside, but there is a Paramatma. And we are serving that Paramatma inside the person. As to about communicating with the Paramatma, that's there's this question of how do we know that the voice that comes out from the inside, is that our mind, is that our intelligence, is that Paramatma, and so on. You know, how do we distinguish, can we communicate? I think to the extent we surrender, the Paramatma will reveal. My experience has been that, I don't know if the Paramatma I can sense, but my experience has been that whenever I get some good advice from inside, go to the temple, or you know, serve the devotees, or do some service in the temple, those kinds of things, I feel are likely to be Paramatma instructing us from inside as the Guru. But the simplest thing is to approach the devotees. They are the external manifestation of Paramatma. So we don't have to worry, you know. We just approach the devotees and ask them. Those devotees we trust, we admire, we respect, we can ask them. And then Paramatma is speaking through them. That is our Shastra. That is the Shastra understanding. So, yeah. There were two more hands. Madan Mohan Prabhu, but before that, Prabhu, at behind you.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu, for such a nice class. I was wanted to comment about the comments you were making about the familiarity, breeds contempt. And I'm reading from Bhakti Chittaswami's book, The Enemies of the Mind. And he was he's speaking about anxiety. Mm. He's saying that we're all in anxiety because we're thinking we're the controllers. That is the nature of the material existence. Always, everyone has anxiety, and so one of his solutions to this anxiety is to stop thinking about ourselves so much, and like you were saying, you know, come to the temple, do some service. Some people want a group. Some people want a guru who will pacify their consciousness and sanction their own ideas. Although they may succeed in temporarily repressing their anxiety, it will still emerge at a later time. However, if a person follows the instructions of a bona fide guru, their anxiety will gradually decrease. The actual problems may not necessarily decrease. In some cases, the problems may even increase. But at least we will have a plan and faith in God as we do the necessary. So, and lastly, he was saying that in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.43, the great Vaishnava Prahlad Maharaj prays to the Lord and displays his concern for all humanity. O best of great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in the thoughts of your glory and activity. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mother Mantra. Mother Mohan, at the back.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking similarly when you went through, it's not the contempt, it's the familiarity that was the focus. And as you said, respect is what should be there. And then I remember Lord Chaitanya's instruction, Trinada Peace and Nietzsche, that one should offer all respects to others. And then, of course, that's so you can chant Hare Krishna, which is the sacrifice for this age. And then when you perform sacrifice, then you get knowledge. And it says, when you thus learn the truth, you know that all beings are in me and are mine. It's with 435. So in that way, your relationship with Krishna is there based. And because practically, how do you do all this? You know, there's a lot of different considerations. But it's all packed up in just chanting Hare Krishna according to Lord Chaitanya's instructions. And when, as we cultivate that, then of course, family is a special situation, special training ground for us. They're given special codes. They see us in our off moments. So it's a special arrangement for assisting us to, because it's easy to fool some of the people some of the time.
It's an austerity, definitely.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll close. Thank you very much. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.